Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder commenting on the points of view of three capitals, now four capitals, in the European war underway, a European-wide war, possibly a global war, given that energy is part of the complex issues presented each time we look at the battlefield. Cannot divorce yourself from what's going on in the European Union, in the Eurozone, in the European Commission, which includes states that are in and not in the European Union or the Eurozone, and NATO, which is another collection of European states dominated by the large economies. That would be Germany, France, Britain, and Italy. Right now, the question is the Brussels point of view from both EU and NATO is an inadequate energy supply, not only for this year, where perhaps they can paper it together, although that is not clear, but for next year and the year after. Professor, the salient detail this week, not overwhelming, but suggesting that there's less than unity, is that Germany's advancing the idea that it will borrow from its future 5% of its GDP, $200 billion, and use that to subsidize both residential and commercial enterprises through this winter. The objection was raised immediately by the EU because Germany's taking care of itself and not sharing, as everyone else is, in the struggle through the winter by having a common pool of subsidies and not lavishing subsidies on Germany, the rich state, where poor states such as Portugal cannot. Your measure of the EU, let's talk about that group itself. It is now facing that its prosperity is at risk. Will it remain together through losing the future?
Well, let's think back. The idea of European Union really dawned on the elites of Europe in 1916 during the Battle of Verdun, when they said there's got to be a better way, and they tried very hard to find that. If you go to Verdun today, there is a monument. It is the museum is a monument to European unity, and there is a marker at the point where the German and the French leaders met for the first time after World War II. And it's all very moving, but in fact, none of this has been delivered. Germany is, as she herself has attempted to make clear on two rather bloody occasions, the natural leader of Europe. She is by far the richest country in Europe. She should be leading by example. And to lead by selfishness in this case is terrible. Look at the amount of our own American budget that goes in to taking care of countries that are perfectly capable of taking care of themselves. And it's very difficult to figure out how we can get them sort of off of our dole. But for the Germans to behave in this manner is, first of all, quite consistent with German behavior, but it's second, totally undermines what is really an essential feature of any stable and peaceful future world order, namely a Europe that is coherent, has a firm structure, has a clear chain of command, is able to speak as one, not as a congeries of dissonant voices. But I just don't see that. I just don't see that happening. I think it's one of the great disappointments for people who thought that Europe could realize her potential, what she would have if she were, in fact, a normal country. Remember that the territory of Europe is is bigger than Canada or the United States or China, and she has more money. She has, certainly has as much know-how, and as friends of mine in our own military delicately put it, more people in uniform than we do. That we have examples of most extraordinary placing of domestic disputes within, for instance, Italy, over the imperative that Europe somehow become functional. Because the fact is that she's had a free ride on the United States since the end of World War II. That was our mistake. But that free ride is over.
The European Union no longer includes the United Kingdom, but Europe certainly does. And it's a very large and important economy that's looking to start its growth again. However, over these last days, I won't summarize the rockiness other than to say that I'm told of 14 prime ministers since Stanley Baldwin retired exhausted and nervous in 1937, 14 conservative prime ministers. More than half have been pushed out before an election. The other part have been pushed out after losing an election. And two, Churchill, for one, have been eased out. That is, really, Mr. Prime Minister, you need a rest. The conservatives immediately begin backstabbing and ankle biting when a new prime minister is mentioned. Is that important when we look at the European war, that the British Parliament is once again entertaining itself with regicide?
Well, I think it is very important how British politics are fascinating. I often ask myself which party I should support in England. And although I am by no means a Labourite, I am a reader of the Guardian newspaper, and I'm sort of one of their people in a way. The Tory parties instinct for self-destruction is quite astonishing. And one of the really of the miracles of the end of World War II is the fact, of course, that Churchill was absolutely thrown out unexpectedly, and that Clement Attlee, the anti-imperialist and the socialist, came to power along with his towering foreign minister, Mr. Bevin, and that even though the United States absolutely refused, Bevin and Attlee, dealing with a totally bankrupt country, nevertheless made Britain a nuclear power, and as such, she remains a power to be considered in the world today, although Britain is not capable of fighting a war on her own. She is, however, capable of devastating anybody who attacks her. So I think we do have to think of this, and this is a very good example of the way in which local instability is undermining the whole European, really the necessity, if Europe is not to somehow, I mean, I don't know what's going to become of Europe if they don't become a coherent political structure. And they're the ones who know best how to do it, but they don't seem to have found out yet.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on the Brussels point of view at the edge of a European winter that remains mysterious to the major economies, both to provide adequate electricity, subsidized, and at the same time maintain their enterprises for prosperity. Those challenges lie ahead. I mention, of course, that Europe is an advocate of renewables, and yet this crisis is obliging Germany and others to review their renewable commitment and entertain not only coal, not only nuclear energy, but also in Germany right now, a debate about fracking. Yes, fracking in Germany. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.